Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the 7th Big Planet Comics Podcast. My name is Kevin.
I don't know what my name is.
What's my name? I'll call you person number 3. I'm person Nick. Number 2.
Yeah, also, he's Nick.
Jared.
And that's Jared.
Hello.
So we're here. So this is our 7th podcast. These things have been going pretty well, I think.
We're definitely here.
Did not realize this is 7. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's already 7. So, not a lot going on this week. I guess we're going to go see Captain America tomorrow.
Woo!
Hell yeah. Captain America.
It's not really getting the best reviews.
Really? It's getting that, like, okay reviews. Oh. But most of them compare it to, like, Rocketeer, which is
amazing.
Awesome, in my opinion.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing to me.
I loved Rocketeer.
Well, Nick was saying that, like, they're pretty lighthearted about all the World War II stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. And then Kevin was saying, you know, it'd be weird if, like, Captain America's like, oh, I'm going to visit this concentration camp and see all the horrible things that are happening.
Yeah, that would be
They definitely do that strange. In some Captain America comics, and it is pretty awful.
Although I do hear that he punches Hitler.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. He should. Yeah, that's what Captain America's famous for.
He is.
Punching Hitler.
I hear he punches him a lot.
And having wings on his head.
Yeah.
All right, so we got some news here. Let's see. Well, Comic-Con started today. Today being Wednesday. You'll be listening to this Thursday or any other day besides today.
What is that?
Comic-Con. Oh, should I explain to people what Comic-Con is?
No, I just don't know what it is.
Well, San Diego Comic-Con is a comic convention that happens every year in San Diego, California.
Oh, is that why it's called San Diego Comic-Con?
I think so. Uh-huh. That makes
you mean SDCI?
Wait, I don't think it's SDCI. No? I think you're thinking of NCIS.
No, CCI, right?
CCI. What are you talking
Comic-Con
about?
Comic-Con International.
Oh, is that what it's called? I always hear it called SDCC, which doesn't lend itself very well to, like, stook.
Don't they just call it Nerdfest or, like, Hollywood marketing test audience now?
I was watching Conan O'Brien, and he said somebody told him to call it the con. I've never heard that before, though. That seems wrong to me.
It sounds like anyway, someone's trying to pull something over
on. So it started tonight, and a lot of news is going to be coming in over the next few days, as it is, were. And but in the preview thing that happened tonight, Marvel announced a new graphic novel line of original graphic novels called the Season 1 line, which sounds a little
Marvel
bit...
Marvel's yeah. doing this? Not their competitor DC Comics?
No, and I mean, Marvel hasn't done original graphic novels really since...
The Marvel original graphic novels? Is that what they were called?
I think so.
I was more referring to the fact that DC had a line called Superman Earth 1. Potentially going to do a Batman-style thing.
And this seems really similar. It's like Marvel's going to publish a line of graphic novels featuring current creators retelling classic superhero tales. Called Season 1, the initiative marks the company's first entry in recent history into original graphic novels.
Yeah. That's a good point. Marvel doesn't do any of those.
Yeah, I mean, the last one I'm sure somebody can think of something else, but like Silver Surfer Requiem is the last one I can remember. That was the one with Mobius and Stan Lee, and that was like 25 years ago or something.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, they haven't really done much at all. But I'm pretty excited about this. I mean, it sounds kind of like the Earthworm stuff, but it's actually, I think it's in continuity, but it's not really clear. It's very vague right now.
Yeah, it says retelling, so I don't think these are going to be really new stories. So we'll see how interesting it is.
My disappointment. Like, if it is something like Superman Earth 1 where they tweak it or have a twist or something new on it, that'd be awesome. But on the other time, it's like, how many times do you have to read Spider-Man's origin again?
Well, stuff like this can be fun, though. Like, I remember it was like Ed McGuinness and I think Jeff Loeb did that retelling of the first appearance of Wolverine. And that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah. So if it's good, it's going to be good. And if it's bad, it's going to be bad.
Well put.
So that's all the news out of Comic-Con so far. But
we'll have more of this next week.
Yeah, we'll probably have a lot of news next week coming out of Comic-Con.
Hopefully.
Too much. We'll see. I mean, there's already so much going on with, like, the DC reboot and everything, but maybe we'll get more info about that, too.
That would be nice as well.
We got a little info about that this week, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So another thing that happened was the Amazing Spider-Man teaser came out.
Hell yeah.
Nick and I watched it earlier today, and we just showed it to Jared. What did you guys think of it?
Exciting.
It reminds me a lot of Garfield.
Wait, Garfield?
The movie or the comic?
The actor.
The actor. You mean Bill Murray?
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of Garfield, Tale of Two Kitties.
Yeah. Oh, isn't the guy's name something Garfield?
Oh, yeah, it is. The movie is Andrew Garfield. Yeah. Well, Andrew Garfield is the actor. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, it took a while for us to get to that one.
Nick's going deep.
So he's playing Peter Parker and Emma Stone from, like, Easy A and a bunch of other stuff.
So hot.
Mean Girls.
Take it up a notch. No, she wasn't.
She was in Superbad.
She wasn't Superbad. But she's playing Gwen Stacy, and it's directed by Mark Webb, the guy that directed 500 Days of Summer. I'm assuming they just picked him because of his last name.
Yeah. They're like, who are we going to get to direct this? Charles Johnson or Mark Webb?
They're like, we're going to get Danny Spider.
Danny Spider. I've seen his films. They're good.
But it looks good. I mean, I was watching, I was like, oh, this actually looks like a real movie.
Yeah.
It looks like a real, yeah. This looks like a movie.
Now, I guess the weirdest thing in the trailer is there at the end for about a minute, there's like this sort of first person Mirror's Edge-ish kind of thing going on, like a kind of parkour Spider-Man thing. But I kind of liked it. It was definitely a lot better than the first person stuff in the Doom movie.
Oh, God. Jesus. Yeah,
my only problem with it is it feels like sort of like when they did, you know, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and they're just doing something cool in the trailer. So I really hope they actually do a lot of that, or at least some of it in the movie.
I really don't hope that like every scene with Spider-Man isn't first person. That'd be awful.
Do you remember what happened in the Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves trailer?
Going back to the back good old days, I just remember because they had the shot where the arrow goes shooting across and it follows the arrow in the flight path.
This is actually remember that. Yeah,
because that was not in the film and was so popular in the trailer, they added that little scene into the film later.
You know it's true. Everything.
Wait, no, we can't afford that. We can't clear that.
No, I do it for somebody else.
And it looks like Gwen Stacy's a scientist in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which,
or
I mean,
at least
that's different.
Is a lab intern, which would be kind of a good way to tie her into.
She was a scientist in the comic.
Science stuff.
No, she wasn't.
No, I don't.
Her dad was, though, a police scientist.
What? Anyway, so the trailer's cool. It's worth checking out online. Yes. There's also leaked footage from the Avengers teaser thing that's at the end of Captain America. I guess I shouldn't say you should watch that online, but you should just go to the movie theater. It's going to be at the end of Captain America, so stick through the credits, which is kind of a good rule of thumb for superhero movies point.
You can barely see
superhero films, but especially.
You can barely see what's happening in it because it's like filmed on a cell phone, but even that made me like so happy.
Yeah, I was pretty. I don't usually like to watch trailers like that, but I felt like it was for work, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I had to do it.
It was business.
Research.
So another little piece of news this week. Kevin Kelly, the gay character that was introduced in Archie last year and has been in like Veronica and stuff. He's getting his own ongoing series.
Is it Kevin Keller?
Keller.
Or is it Kelly?
It is Kevin Keller. Kevin Kelly is a guy that's on a podcast that I watch.
You watch a podcast?
I do. It's the Feedback on G4 TV, and his name's Kevin Kelly. I don't think he's gay. I don't want to put that rumor out there.
No.
But the coolest thing about this is like they're saying, you know, he's been a hugely popular character for us.
Wow.
So we want to do this, which is great. I mean, it's you know, it's not a big deal, but it's kind of a big deal.
It's kind of like, you know, you got the Muppets or Sesame Street when they're finally like, oh, we should expand these things out into the real diversity of what everyone who watches these things is. So.
Are there gay Muppets?
No, but there was a Muppet
probably
episode about AIDS, which was pretty serious.
Yeah. But like Sesame Street, like, you know, if it's in a different country, they have like all the ethnicities.
They start covering more like serious topics, which is kind of weird for Sesame Street, I guess. But.
Well, Sesame Street's kind of made by hippies, I feel like.
Yeah.
With all those public dollars, our tax dollars supporting their lefty causes, like learning about letters and numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Laughing.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right, so.
teach children to spend.
I think that's great.
Yeah, I think it's a cool thing. And
because one of the things, just going back again to the DC Comics line, is one of the things I'm disappointed with is for all the new stuff they're doing, there's not a huge amount of diversity in it. They're doing
we're really diverse.
That was kind of their whole tagline. That was like one of their big things. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about the DC stuff when we get to the reviews of this week's stuff. So it's time to move on to some viewer mail. That's our, I guess, is that the viewer mail thing? I didn't write a new jingle for anything this week.
I've been waiting.
But we got viewer mail. I think this is from a new person, Jessica.
Wait, who's that?
Wait, Jessica. Have you guys heard of Jessica before?
I don't think so.
Jessica Biel?
Is it Jessica Biel?
Jessica Rabbit?
Jessica Simpson?
I think it's... I know her last name, but I'm not going to say what it is.
Wait, who the hell is Jessica Simpson? Oh, wait. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking of The Simpsons. I was like, I don't remember. There's Maggie, Lisa. Oh, dude, that Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, that Jessica Simpson. The one from Dukes of Hazzard.
Where did she go?
The one that's married to 98 Degrees.
She's been like out of the spotlight for a while.
All of them?
Yeah, I don't. Do we really want to talk about Jessica Simpson right now?
This isn't. Yeah.
We'll see how many people write in about Jessica Simpson.
Let's get to Jessica's question, not Jessica Simpson.
Wait, but who is this Jessica?
We've already. That joke is over.
Oh, it's that Jessica.
It is that Jessica. All right, so Jessica says, "Hello, podcast. I feel you all have gotten to know me rather well in recent weeks through my repeated emails, telephone calls, and impromptu visits, as well as our interactions with the police and local court system." Yeah, it's good that she's acknowledging that that's actually going on now. So with that knowledge in mind, what one comic would you pick for me to read? I'm assuming she means when she's in jail. Once we all move past this impending legal action and I'm allowed to stop by the store, I would like to pick up some new reading material. See you around, from a respectful distance, of course, for now. Jessica, with multiple exclamation points, of course.
Of course.
So, I mean, in all seriousness, if you got like somebody coming in for the first time.
Oh, seriousness. I was thinking like Hard Time would be a good comic.
That's true.
About a young kid who goes to jail.
Yeah. So I mean, what's a good first comic for people? For somebody, I'm assuming she doesn't really want to read superhero comics.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like we always want it. like the questions we always ask people when they come in is like, what do you like to read? What movies do you enjoy? You know, do you hate superheroes? Other important questions.
Well, I know so. Jessica really likes Hall and Oates.
Ooh.
Didn't they? Well, isn't there Hall and Oates comic? Yeah. Oh, well, they're in God, what is that comic called? The Danzig one.
Are they?
Yeah.
Like
Glenn and Henry.
Glenn and Henry about Glenn Danzig and Henry Rollins being domestic partners.
Yeah, because their neighbors are Hall and Oates.
Oh, well, there you go. There's a comic with Hall and Oates in it, but I was going to go more traditional and say Fables.
You're a rich girl.
That is a really good Hall and Oates song. So Fables for me. Fables is about a bunch of fables that are like, it's like Snow White and the Big Bad Wolf, and they're kind of pushed out of their homeland and forced to set up shop in New York City. And it's just a really good, character drama with a lot of intrigue and stuff. And it's a really good comic. It's been going for a while now. It's like on issue 106, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, I would say Scalped, just because, if you like anything that's good.
Yeah, if you like The Wire or Sopranos.
HBO shows, it's a really good, easy to read, pretty simple story, but awesome. Like one of the best things ever.
What do you got, Jared?
I'm going to do Why the Last Man, because not only is it great and a thriller, it actually is ended already, so you can read it and know that you can read the end of it immediately if you want to.
Yeah, all the Vertigo books, basically. I mean, those are always our go-to. It's kind of, I feel like it's lazy, but they're good.
I kind of feel like we should make a read Prison Pit, though.
Oh, God, Prison Pit. It's like Dragon Ball Z, but... with R-rated. A lot of other stuff going on.
We can't actually talk about.
Yeah. But so, Jessica, hopefully that helps you out. Just let us know which one you want to read. And you've sent us so many questions. We'll just send you a copy.
Yeah.
And especially since you can't actually come into the store and pick it up at this point until all this stuff is sorted out. Yeah. So we got another question. This is from Chris Campbell, who sent us a question before. He was our first question guy.
That Chris Campbell. He's a good guy.
Chris Campbell is a good guy. I like Chris Campbell.
He's a nice family.
Hi, Chris. How's it going?
Your kids are cute. You have a nice family.
I see pictures of them on Facebook sometimes.
Yeah, no, they've been in the store.
Oh, yeah. I guess I see them in person, too.
That sounds really creepy.
I only exist on Facebook. Anyway.
That's true.
So Chris's question's a little more insidery, businessy. But Chris says, guys, I saw a post on Bleeding Cool about an advertising campaign that DC is preparing for the new DCU launch. Specifically, 30-second ads to run before movies and previews. Oh. Supposedly, local comic shops can be spotlighted for 25% of the cost. DC will pay the other 75%. What are your thoughts? Now, my first thought is, thanks for pointing this out to us, because I don't think we actually knew about it.
I actually knew about this when I went with Peter to the DC presentation he talked about on the old podcast.
Well, I'm just an idiot then. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying I hadn't mentioned it to you yet. So you're uninformed. You're not an idiot.
Kevin.
They were very not specific about what they're planning, but they said they did want to do a TV/movie campaign ad where they were very... like, oh, yeah, we'll do all these ads for movies. And everyone in the entire room is like, that's very expensive. They're like, it is? So I think they are stepping in that direction with the... DC seemed a little out of touch with some of the realities of
retailing. I was kind of wondering how much 25% is, because it seems like it might be a lot of money.
Yeah, depends on the place. And then other people pointed out, it's like, yeah, in some theaters, need this, 2 months in advance. DC's like, they do? So, yeah.
So it seems like they definitely did a lot of research before they presented this idea.
Right.
Now, DC used to do a thing like this, like, back in the early 90s, right, when comics were sort of at their height. And I think Big Planet did a few ads like that.
Yeah, they still, in fact, do that, where it's an ad that stores can buy into. Basically, you run it on TV or, whatever program you want to show it on, and DC will reimburse a store for a large percentage of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea.
Basically they said they want an updated version of that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would depend on what the full cost would be, and we don't really know that right now. But I think if it was not too expensive, it's something that we would do.
I mean, it's kind of cool, and I think it's a way for them to tell the retailers that, we're not going to like abandon you because we're going to digital format and you're going to like not have any actual comics.
Or the thing could be, we could pay 25% and like half the ad is about buying comics on iTunes. And at the end it's like, and if you don't have iTunes, go to Big Planet Comics.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah.
But so, Chris, I hope that was a good enough answer. I mean, I guess we were a little vague about that. But
And DC said they were going to spend at least $1 million+ on advertising for this launch.
$1 million?
For a comic book publisher? That's amazing.
All right, so as always, if you guys want to send in questions, send those to podcast@bigplanetcomics.com, and we're going to read them on the air every week. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Chris. And thank you, whoever sends in these next questions. So it's time to move on to reviews.
Oh,
we love comics, they're swell, except when they're written by Scott Lobdell. I prefer important books like Louis Riel. It's time for reviews. I still like that one.
Me too.
Yeah, it's good. I wanted to change the lyrics this week, but I was feeling lazy. I didn't even want to do this podcast. And I like, a full disclosure, I just bought Adventure Island for my Nintendo, and I want to play it.
Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah. Kevin lives in 1983.
It's true. We played through Clash of Demon Head last week, and tonight it was so good. But tonight was supposed to be Adventure Island.
Well, before we start these reviews, I have an amazing Scott Lobdell revelation to share with you guys.
Let's hear it.
Ready?
I found out that there's a Scott Lobdell comic that I really like.
There is.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you're related to him. You were like pausing.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say too. So that's fine. That's okay though. I mean, it's like, okay. We can talk you through this.
Yeah, and you said you just found out. So it's like you didn't know. So it was like unwitting.
Well,
so
no, I forgot he wrote it. But I feel that you guys might actually like this comic as well.
What is it?
High Roads. It's the one with him and Lanil Yu. It's about about Nazis. It's got a
dwarf Hitler imitator.
I've never read that.
Really?
Oh my God. It's great.
This is Kevin speaking. I've never read that comic.
This is Jared speaking. I did read that, and it was amazing.
Yeah. It was put out by Image's Cliffhanger line, which...
Oh, that was...
nobody remembers.
Was that Joe Madureira's line?
Like Danger Girl.
Maybe.
Type stuff.
Oh, Danger Girl was a part of that. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't ever show me that comic, because I don't want to like it.
You'll love it.
Maybe some of his new stuff will be good then. I mean,
nope.
I want to be nice to Scott Lobdell.
But then we'll definitely have to rewrite the jingle.
All right, so let's go into some of these books. We're gonna talk about the DC New 52 preview thing that came out this week, and maybe we should get that out a little later though. Let's start with some of these other books. Let's start with Evangeline.
Evangeline.
Let's start with the New 52.
All right, so. Yeah, it's true. Evangeline was written by Rob Liefeld and
Ray.
Mark Poulton, and it had art by Owen Gianni. The art on this is actually pretty interesting, I mean, for what it is.
Yeah, I like the art.
Yeah, it's like kind of...
Cutesy cartoony,
but then the subject matter, the art just completely does not fit the subject matter, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
It's got like suicide girls looking characters who are having been tortured, and...
The main character is like a porn star.
A porn star, exotic dancer, and her... her like live-in roommate is like a suicide girl. She looks like a total ripoff of a Ross Campbell character.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like if Ross Campbell does this thing called Wet Moon, and she looks exactly like a character from Wet Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
not a character from it, the character.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. we saw previews of this and saw the covers and thought, hey, this looks pretty good. But then when you open it up, it's sort of that same kind of like really misogynist,
malicious.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like Mysterious Ways from a few weeks ago, if you guys remember us talking about that.
Yep.
It just seems like it's like a lot of Schadenfreude. Like you're supposed to get a lot of joy out of all these people's misery. And it's just kind of gross. I don't like it. Too many demons. And
it's like a porn star who's getting abused by her, I don't know, pimp manager. I'm not even sure. And like she's maybe some kind of fallen angel. And
yeah, she's later possessed by the original character. This is the thing I forgot, was that this is an old character that he did years ago, because they have like at the back of the book like a summary or recap of some earlier adventures.
That was awful.
I got to the last page, I just shut this.
No, because it's in the original art style, and it's like the old 90s bad girl art.
I want to say it's worse than Rob Liefeld's art.
It's awful.
Like kind of like Lady Death type art.
It was worse than that.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Yeah, so I mean, we'd have to say Evangeline from the outside, it looks pretty good, but then once you get into it, it's pretty bad in a lot of ways. So
yeah, so basically, if you see anything else this guy draws, check it out.
Yeah, pick it up off the shelf, look at the art, and then put it down.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think that's fair. It's unfortunate, but I think that's true. All right, so let's move on.
We should have known though. It was written by Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, we should have.
We were hoping,
but it was weird because we thought it was going to be good, but we were wrong.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on to The Boys, Butcher Baker, Candlestick Maker by Garth Ennis. And oddly, this one's by Derek Robertson. He usually does the main series and then other guys do the mini series. But I'm pretty far behind on The Boys, so I didn't get a chance to read this. But I know Nick read it. Jared, did you get a chance to take a look at it?
Well, the thing with Derek Robertson is he hasn't been on the book in a while because it's been a lot of fill-in artists. But he's been working on this, basically. Because I read an interview with him and he said that, you know, he wanted this to be like one of the best Boys stories of all, because it's pretty important. I mean, you don't know anything about Butcher up until this point.
Well, now a lot of people wouldn't have read The Boys yet, so what's the basic breakdown of what The Boys is about?
Oh, The Boys is about a group of people called The Boys. It's a bunch of guys who had something happen to them in their lives caused by superheroes, like, you know, a superhero killed their girlfriend or, you know, something like that, and they get together and they're funded by the government to basically monitor superheroes. Because in this universe, all the superheroes are like
It's a much darker look at superheroes. Yeah, yeah. Where it's basically like it, the kind of id of a superhero who's unlimited power and is just uncontrollable and, you know, just...
Yeah, it's kind of like with, you know, with all this power, they're just like out of control. They just don't know what to, how to handle it.
And usually the comic is told through the point of view of Huey, who is like this guy that looks like Simon Pegg. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like Simon Pegg.
He's based on Simon Pegg.
And it's sort of introducing him to this organization called The Boys. And Butcher is this guy who's been around for a long time.
He's
and
the then, head of The Boys.
Yeah, he's the head. And I guess Butcher Baker is kind of telling his backstory a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because you... Up until now, you haven't really known much about his origin. You know everything about everybody else up until this point. And Boys is coming to an end pretty soon. So I guess, you know, they're like, now's the time. And so far, his backstory is, it's fairly simple, but it's pretty messed up. But it's not as crazy as you would think it was, at least not yet. But I have a feeling that
it's only the first issue.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to get really crazy.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, if you haven't read The Boys, don't jump in and read this.
Yeah, that's the problem with these miniseries they do. As compelling as they are, they're basically... in continuity stories, it's just done as a mini series, so it's not like a standalone really.
But
you
I would
try it though.
I would say if you've like maybe read Herogasm and decided to not to read any of the other Boys mini series, that this would actually be a good one to jump in and read.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you could actually probably read it standalone because it's just kind of about his past. But
don't do that.
But yeah, you probably shouldn't. Yeah.
Go pick up the first Boys book.
Yeah.
But it's good to let people know it's out there.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to Criminal Macabre, Goon, When Freaks Collide. This is written by Steve Niles, who usually writes Criminal Macabre, and Christopher Mitten, who I don't know him. He's done art on some of the other Criminal Macabre books, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, and there's something about like Eric Powell maybe do part of this. It's not very clear. It's just like Eric Powell wrote fart jokes. That's what it says. It says something like that.
And he did one of the covers, and his cover is great. Right. It's kind of based on an old like EC cover, I think, or Creepy.
Yeah.
But I read this. The Goon's a cool character. Some of the Criminal Macabre stuff is cool. It felt a little bit like a throwaway story, but it was fun enough. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's fun enough. It's just, you know, it's just like, you know, Cal McDonald is the character from Criminal Macabre is like a demon investigator, and
he's sort of a John Constantine Hellblazer type guy.
Yeah, yeah, and like it's just, you know, he's like, oh, I'm gonna fight these crazy monsters, and at the same time, Goon and Frankie are like, oh, we're gonna fight these crazy monsters.
Yeah, it's exactly like the old team up books where it'd be like, oh, today Moon Knight and Spider Man, they end up fighting each other and then teaming up. You know, it's like those classic just for fun two characters together.
It's definitely that. And then there's something crazy that happens at the end. I don't really want to say what it
it's
is.
It's got a nice twist.
Yeah, but
a bonus, I'll say.
We'll say another character shows up.
It's a cute bonus.
Who seems like he might fit into this type of story.
Yeah, yeah.
Which basically just gave it away.
It's Spider Man.
It's New Gingrich.
Unexpected.
What?
Completely unexpected, yeah. Overall, I mean, if you like Criminal Macabre or you like The Goon, this is definitely something you should check out. And if you like both of them, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer anyway. But,
it's also fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun one-shot. I mean, I enjoyed it.
If you like characters that drink and fight monsters, this is a comic for you.
Yeah.
It's true.
And if you like characters getting brutally murdered, then this comic is for you. It's called Flashpoint Legion of Doom number 2. This is written by Adam Glass and Rodney Buscemi. Adam Glass writes it. Rodney Buscemi does the art.
I don't want to say too much about it, but the fact that...
I think we're going to go full on spoiler.
Let's do it. All right.
Warning, if you're reading Flashpoint Legion of Doom, do not listen to this little section of the podcast because we're going to tell you what happens.
And also, I want to say that this is only one of the Flashpoint books that came out this week that had insane violence in it.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of a staple of these books.
Especially
now.
Issue 2 of all of these has been like insanely violent.
Yeah, people are getting hurt a lot. I think they decided to relaunch the new DC Universe by killing everybody in the old one.
All right, can I start with what the craziest thing that happens in this?
Yeah. That's basically all we're going to talk about, go ahead.
All right, so the first really crazy thing that happens is that Animal Man shows up what's the guy's name? Heatwave is the villain, the main character.
Right.
And he's in this prison. And, you know, one of the prisoners is Animal Man, who's wrongly accused of killing his family. And one of the other prisoners is like, Animal Man, you have to kill this guy or I'm going to kill you or whatever. And so Animal Man...
Just get to the good part.
So Animal Man's like, all right, I'll do it. And so Heatwave grabs him, bites his nose off, and then proceeds to put his teeth against a ledge and curb stomp him. Like, brutally. It's
like,
really gross.
Like, full American History X curb stomp.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah.
But then the crazier thing is, not a crazier, but later on something crazy happens to you.
I think that's enough. We should move on.
Yeah, we should move on. But it's just, I don't know. I don't know why we wanted to talk about this. But it's these Flashpoint books are getting weirdly malicious, I feel like.
The Adam's head gets smashed.
Yeah, that definitely happens.
And
as well.
he's a miniature size, and somebody smashes his head with his fingers.
All right, if you haven't read Legion of Doom and you were going to buy it, come back now. All right, so we're going to talk about.
Wait, what? They're not listening.
Oh, geez, are we going to talk about this now? Let's talk about something good.
What was the next thing? We could just talk about it real
quick.
You're
the maestro.
It was Marksman.
Marksman was awful and hilarious
and amazing, but not in the like. I am amazed. This is so good. But like, I'm amazed. I'm reading this.
Here's the thing with Marksman, though. Marksman was $1.
They say frack a lot.
Ooh, it is $1.
Marksman is $1, and there is so much crazy, stupid stuff that happens.
It is entertainment that is totally worth it.
Yeah, I mean, people call people pud knockers. There's a character named Athena that says frack. I mean, it's like it's like
she was named Athena.
Yeah, it's like it's so many weird Battlestar Galactica things.
I was laughing the entire time.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
So I mean. I hate to recommend a book that's just awful. This book really stinks, but it's so funny. For a dollar, it's kind of you get value for your
pick
dollar.
It up and flip through it. I'll just say that.
Yeah, don't buy the second issue. But
oddly enough, the art isn't that bad.
The art's not okay. Bad. Yeah, it's very serviceable. It's the guy's a journeyman. All right, so
not a marksman.
He's not. Well, he may be a marksman, but he was a little off his mark in this one. Whoa, that was my Rex Reed review of this. Pirates of the Caribbean 2 was a treasure chest of fun. All right, so moving on to something. This was very close to being our pick of the week. This is Old City Blues by
Yanis Miloyannis.
That's why we bring Nick on here, because he can pronounce Greek people's names. Yep. Although this is like the only Greek
I'm
guy.
I'm done. I'm out. It's my last podcast. That's all I'm here for.
But so Jared, can you give people a little idea what Old City Blues was about?
Basically, it's like a mashup of Akira and Gundam or some other mobile suit.
I would definitely throw a Blade Runner
Gunsmith
in there.
Cats, Blade Runner. Yeah.
And especially Pluto.
Pluto,
yes.
Well, the thing in the back of the book, he was like, I originally started this as like, I wanted to show people my art, and I wanted to draw a lot of stuff that I liked that was cool. But then he was like, he's drawing and writing, and he's like, this is kind of awesome, so I'm going to make a story out of it.
Yeah.
And it is kind of awesome. I compare it to Pluto because it's Pluto is a book by Tezuka that came out. I can't remember the guy's name. The guy that does Monster.
Yeah.
Naoki Urasawa.
Based on an old Tezuka.
Based on an old Tezuka story. But it's
based on Astro Boy. Right?
Yeah, based on an old Astro Boy story that's basically like a murder mystery involving robots. Which is what Old City Blues is.
Yeah.
And so the old city in this is, there's a city called New Athens that's basically taken up the entirety of Greece.
Greece has been flooded.
Yeah. But then there's the old city that nobody lives in that's actually Athens itself, like with the Parthenon and you know, all that
old
stuff.
Ruins.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it made me cry.
And
my people.
And so this is a murder mystery that takes place inside of New Athens and then moves into the sort of
the
narrows of the old city or whatever. Yeah. And it's really cool. It's very Blade Runner.
You got a detective
moody.
Running around, and you've got police who are driving giant robot battle suits in case they need to deal with tough criminals or whatever.
And the
mystery and robots killing people. And
the art's really sketchy, but it's like really loose in a way that gives it a lot of motion. And there are a lot of like car chases and big fight scenes in this.
Yeah,
so it works really well for that.
The art reminded me a lot of... what's his name? Nimura that does I Kill Giants?
Oh, yeah.
Ken Nimura.
Yeah. This definitely was very close to being our pick of the week.
Especially it's a nice little hardcover and it's only $15.
Yeah. So if you're into like, you know, if you like stuff like that book Husk that came out, or you like Blade Runner, or you like Pluto.
Akira. Any Japanese
or Greece.
Thing with robots.
Yeah. Or if you like Greece.
Like me.
So check out Old City Blues by
Yanis Miloyannis.
There you go. All right. So moving on to this book was insane. Moving on to Reaper number 2 by Cliff Rathburn.
Nice.
F yeah.
If there are any little kids listening to this or your parents are there, I'm going to warn you, we're going to say the word whores a couple of times.
Oh yeah, they do say whores a lot in this comic.
Yeah.
A few.
Like, so who wants to explain what this comic is about?
Oof, can we?
Well, the first one is about this guy fighting death and getting this thing from him that kind of, I don't know. It's really weird.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'll explain what it's about. Yeah.
Explain it better than me. You read it more recently than I did.
So the first Reaper is basically about like a guy. He's almost like the world's greatest assassin or whatever.
Yep.
And the first one was written by Robert Kirkman and Cliff Rathburn. And that's important. We'll get back to
that.
Wait,
did he co-write it?
He co-wrote the first one.
I did not realize. I thought I just drew it. Okay.
So no, he came up with the story and Kirkman wrote it and then he drew it. So Reaper gets this, this stone that basically makes him like unkillable. And then he kills a bunch of people. That's basically the first one.
Yeah, so the first one is like an R-rated action.
Oh, also it came out like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or longer. But yeah, it was R-rated kung fu stuff.
So the second volume is written and drawn by Cliff Rathburn. And
with no moderating Kirkman influence.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Nick. I don't even think Robert Kirkman read this. I mean, there were typos in it and things. Well, what was the thing Cliff Rathburn said? Basically, he's dyslexic, right?
Yeah, in his defense, he is dyslexic. And he was like, you know, I'm sorry if there's anything wrong with this. I'm dyslexic, but, you know, I want to prove that I can do this. You know, this is kind of my thing. I want to do it, you know.
But the thing about Reaper is the art is super tight. It's great.
Astounding.
Yeah. It's a lot like Ryan Ottley's art, actually.
It is like Ryan Ottley's art. And like Cliff Rathburn's other art. I mean, if you've seen the Brit books, he drew those. And
he usually does covers for Walking Dead, I think, right?
He does, yeah. Well, he does colors for Walking Dead.
Oh, he does colors.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but
who was that European guy that did that one Wolverine one-shot with the claws slicing through people's heads and like people falling out? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the guy's name.
That's the other thing. He's like... exquisitely detailed eviscerations and decapitations and
people get bisected and things and trisected and quadrisected in this book. But the dialogue, like, it starts out a little, the story is a little exposition-y at the beginning.
Yeah, but like, then
once
boring.
Yeah, but then once his character Reaper shows up,
he's
like, leave me alone, I'm with my whores. And like, you know,
later whores, I'll be right back.
He says a lot of things that I don't really want to get
there's
into.
A lot of cursing, and he's kind of incredible.
Yeah, but so the writing's a little clumsy at times, but the whole book, I mean, you'll crack up, and on purpose. I mean, Cliff Rathburn is doing what he wants to do. It's not like
it is pulpy, over the top action.
Yeah, and it's not like he screwed up and that's why it's like this. No. It's just so funny, and the action is crazy.
And there's an absurd preview of issue 3 that has nothing to do with this issue.
Yeah. So definitely if you just want over the top fun, if you like stuff like Brit, or you liked what was the shark versus bear thing, that
grizzly shark versus shark bear or something.
Yeah,
like
anyway, that's shark, yeah, that's close enough. But yeah. I mean, if you like the stuff like that, or like stuff like Prison Pit, I mean, it's just goofy, it's over the top, it's really violent, but it's fun. And it's not mean spirited, it's just like totally silly.
It's goofy fun,
it's awesome. It's definitely worth checking out. And
not for kids.
And definitely not for kids. So that's Reaper. What else we got here? Moving on to another book that was hilarious. Sergio Aragonés Funnies, number one. So Sergio Aragonés, he's a Mad Magazine artist for years.
He's mi amigo. At least that's what he says.
He does say he is.
Hola, mi amigos.
Jared, tell people what Funnies is about. Or
basically, this is just like his book where he's doing what he wants, which involves really entertaining, actually, biographical stories of his growing up and doing, like, getting involved with the Mexican film industry. But also then just, like, you know, have a, like all the kind of fun stuff you'd see in Mad Magazine, like, you know, find all the things that are different on this page, or here's a weird puzzle, and here's a gag strip for a page and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of the Mad Magazine type stuff is great. Yeah, but I like that he's actually doing a little bit of a autobiographical kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's, like, a funny take on... like Helena Troy and the Trojan Horse. but definitely
good.
The best thing in here is his sort of autobiographical story about gathering all his friends to be extras in Daniel Boone, like when they were shooting it down in Mexico.
Yeah.
But I mean, Sergio Aragonés is a pure humorist. He's one of the funniest guys to ever do comics. I mean, Gru, obviously, and his Mad Magazine stuff has always been great. And
yeah, he's immensely talented as a cartoonist.
Yeah. He's got a really loose style, and just everything he draws is funny.
Yeah, one thing I just said to the side, I saw like a video of like several cartoonists doing their style, and Sergio was one of the guys doing it, and he's just started there and it's drawing on a piece of board, you know, whatever, drawing his character, using a fat felt tip marker and instantly drawing the whole page without picking up his pen. You know, he was just flowing out of him.
Well, he's been doing this for like 50 years.
Yeah, but amazing.
He's good at it.
And if you ever get a chance to meet him at a convention, he's amazing. Yeah. He's like Salvador Dali mixed with Pablo Picasso mixed with like Mel Blanc or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my mustache crush.
So if you want to have a mustache crush on Sergio Aragonés, definitely read Funnies. He'll appreciate it, and you can talk to him about it when you meet him. So moving on, we got Witch Doctor number 2. This is by Brandon Seaford and Luca Kettner.
Witch Doctor?
Witch Doctor? Dr. Kien?
Dr. Kien.
We talked about Witch Doctor 1, if you guys missed it. Witch Doctor is basically, it's so easy to explain. It's like House, the TV show.
That's how you explain it.
We can't afford that either.
Oh, okay.
It's like if House, the doctor, was an exorcist. Witch Doctor is basically the guy that takes care of all the exorcisms that other people can't handle. I just want to say that Witch Doctor 2 is just as good as Witch Doctor 1.
I agree.
It's totally fun. The art is still great.
Maybe better.
It may be better.
It starts building a little bit of a kind of mythology, and there's a little bit of a tease as to like something that may or may not have happened to him in this past. And
most places are sold out of Witch Doctor number 1 right now. If you didn't get a chance to check it out, I think the second printing is coming out next week. So So definitely check that out. And if you want to, you can just read Witch Doctor 2. They don't really tie together.
Yeah.
It's definitely the most original comic that's come out in a long time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's unfortunate it's only 4 issues. Hopefully they'll do a Hellboy type thing.
Said in the first issue that they were going to write it as a 4-issue miniseries, and they had lots of other ideas. So I think they're just going to do miniseries after miniseries.
That's great. I would like to see this book.
I think it all depends on sales, you know. I mean, just like anything else.
But it's doing well.
Yeah.
Sold out.
All right. So moving on to just a thing I wanted to mention, Walking Dead is always good. But in the back of this issue of Walking Dead, there's a preview of the Walking Dead novel that's coming out in September, I think.
Who reads novels?
Yeah, it's a book with no pictures. But this is written by Robert Kirkman and Jay Bonansinga, I guess. Sure. But basically, it's about, if you read Walking Dead, it's about the governor and how his sort of his rise and how
that is the actual title. It's The Walking Dead: Rise of the Governor.
Yeah,
Rise of the Governor.
So that's about it. I just want to let people know what's out there. There are a few issues with this. Some of the writing's a little off, but I think this is a very early version of this. That's just a preview.
Yeah, so basically
fans.
It's like 2 chapters from the book, pre-printed at smaller print, so you can read them all in the book. And the thing that I found interesting about it is it's set the opening chapters there. They're like there's still 1 or 2 channels on TV. Like the world has not ended, so you're getting a little glimpse at the time before. You know, this time they skip over at the beginning of Walking Dead.
Right, because Rick is in the coma at the beginning
right, and
of
no one
Dead.
You've never had any flashbacks or anyone really discussing it.
So it definitely seems like it's fleshing out the Walking Dead universe. I'm going to read it. I love Walking Dead
so much.
And
the governor is one of the best characters he's done. So
yeah, I'm definitely never going to read it.
And one of the worst characters because terrible, terrible man.
I'm never going to read
one
it.
One of the most interesting bad characters.
Ain't got no drawings. I don't want to read it.
Yeah, I don't. What's the last novel you read, Nick?
I don't know.
Really? Do you not know?
No.
Was it for school?
Red Badge of Courage? I don't know.
Incident in Owl Creek.
The Great Gatsby?
Did you read the Grant Morrison prose issue of Batman that he wrote?
No.
I didn't read that.
That's good because it was terrible.
I read like 2 pages of it and I looked at the picture next to it and I was like, I don't read this.
That was the most purple prose, florid. That's always a good one to do on a podcast. Go purple prose.
Purple prose.
But yeah. So
a Prince song?
Definitely, I mean... check out the book when it comes out if you're big into Walking Dead. A little shout out to Patrick, one of our customers. I know he's going to be pretty excited about this one.
Yeah,
that dude loves Patrick. Walking Dead. What's his Tumblr? I am Rick Grimes, missinghand.tumblr.com. Check that out if you're a Walking Dead
fan.
All right, so we're going to move on to, I guess we'll talk about this DC New 52 thing. Basically, what came out this week was a free preview of all the 52 books coming out. I feel like we've talked ourselves blue about the new 52. Basically, at this point, we just need to wait until it comes out.
Yeah, there's a neat preview of a 6-page preview of the new Batman comic.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, you get to see. I mean,
Batman.
No, it's not the new Batman comic. There's a 6-page preview of Justice League in there. Justice League is going to be huge.
It has Batman in it.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to check it out. But and it's free. So we have it at all our stores. Come by and grab it if you're curious about what's going to go on. And from that, we're going to move on to our Big Planet pick of the week. And this is Daredevil #1 by Mark Waid with art by Paolo Rivera and Marcos Martin. I think there was no question about this. We all agreed.
Astounding is the word I'm going to use.
Absolutely astounding.
This is the coolest thing I've ever read about a blind man.
It's true. Well, I read the script to Blind Justice with Rutger Hauer.
I love that movie.
What about The Vengeance of Ray Charles?
That's the one where he's got like a sword in his cane, right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that movie's awesome. So Nick, what you want to break down what the new Daredevil is about for people?
Well, I feel like some people might be disappointed because it's kind of like a more lighthearted Daredevil story.
Yeah, Daredevil's definitely, since Bendis took over, been a very, very dark book for probably going on 8 years or so. Yeah.
Frank Miller took over?
Well, Miller's stuff was not as sort of, well, yeah.
Miller's stuff was rough.
Yeah, basically since people around Daredevil started dying.
Yeah.
But this is Daredevil, back in New York, and he's trying to get his practice back together, trying to practice law. And he's definitely more of like feels more like a squashbuckler in this. Like he's just like grabbing women and kissing them randomly and just, saving the day. And it's awesome.
It's just like he's enjoying life and that he can do these amazing things.
Well, the whole concept is, he's gone through all these terrible things. So now he really is the man without fear. He's like, nothing worse could ever happen to me. So he's like, I'm just going to do whatever I want and just live happy and live in the moment. And that you feel it. It's awesome.
This new storytelling style for Daredevil is definitely accompanied by art that fits it very well. Paolo Rivera is doing the main storyline for this first arc, and he's but it seems like he's doing a style that's very similar to Marcos Martin, who's done a lot of work for Spider-Man recently.
Yep.
It's very clean, very cartoony, very Steve Ditko kind of
And beautiful.
And Marcos Martin also does a backup in this, which is amazingly beautiful.
Yeah, they're switching off on arcs, and I feel like this is going to be like the best art on a book ever.
Yeah, I mean, this
some
is...
of the things they do with the art is astounding. Like, they've got like kind of the echolocation that Daredevil can do with his radar sense, but like the things he sees, like they use the sounds that you'll be hearing, Daredevil be hearing to curve. I can't even describe it.
It's amazing how they visualize sound.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very well done. And definitely our pick of the week. It's such a great book, and it's good to see.
By far,
it's good to. I mean, Daredevil has been good for a long time. The Bendis Daredevil was good. I mean, Frank Frank Miller's obviously his stuff was great. The Ed Brubaker stuff was fantastic, yeah. And even the Andy Diggle's stuff.
And
was
most
good.
Of the Andy Diggle stuff.
Yeah,
was
Daredevil
good.
Reborn was a little shaky, but I feel like
Shadowland was a little shaky.
Shadowland was definitely a little shaky, but this is getting Daredevil back on track. Even though it's a totally new direction, it's fantastic and. I would recommend it to anybody.
And they don't ignore the old stuff. It's not like, I mean, some of the stuff is like, you know, he's dealing with it, you know.
Yeah, and that's even a little part of it. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but it seems like
that is a big part of it.
Yeah,
actually,
it seems like he's implying that, you know, he's sort of forcing himself to be this way.
Yeah.
Because so much bad stuff has happened.
Yeah, that's
to
the
him.
Only way for him to move forward. Yeah.
But a fun book, beautiful, and
In the next few issues, he's fighting Claw, which is the best villain he could ever fight. It's a villain that his power is based on sound.
Yeah, so Daredevil number one, that's our pick of the week, and I think that's it for this week's podcast. All right. My name's Kevin.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jared.
And we'll see you guys next time. Woo-hoo.